This hour of Cairo Nights is brought to you by Carrier Heating and Air Conditioning.
Broadcasting live from the Carter Subaru Studios, you're listening to Cairo Nights. Happy Wednesday. I'm G. Scott, y'all. The Online Trading Academy text line, it is 98973. Means the world that you listen to the show. Real quick, I want to get this out of the way because Seahawk tickets giveaway is always a beautiful thing, Frank Shires, all day long. Here on Cairo Radio, we're giving y'all five chances to win tickets to a December Seahawks game. Coming up, we'll announce this show's special code word. You'll need that word to enter to win. So keep listening to the show, not just for the tickets, but because you love us. Don't forget, this September, the Hawks are home at CenturyLink Field for three more exciting matchups, making your holiday shopping that much easier. Get your single game tickets today at Seahawks.com. So in the 8 o'clock hour, about 8:45 or so, I'm going to give you guys the special code word. Again, come back at 8:45.
There you go.
And stay with us until then. Drew, I said something to you earlier, and I wish I could take it back. I meant it in a different way, but it came out another way. I said, man, that was a great funeral.
Yeah, those words don't normally go together.
It was a mistake. But you knew my heart.
Sure.
You knew my heart.
I knew what your intentions were about.
But it was a great funeral.
It was a beautiful funeral. How's that?
Thank you.
It was a
there you go.
Touching. That's a
beautiful
qualifier.
A crowd of roughly 300 invited guests greeted the arrival of a plane carrying former President George H.W. Bush's remains to Texas today. Now, the military aircraft, nicknamed Special Air Mission 41, in honor of the 41st president, landed in Houston on Wednesday evening after a flight from Washington. Bush will lie in repose overnight at St. Martin's Episcopal Church in Houston. President George H.W. Bush's, or 41 if you want to call him, as his family called him, was remembered at a state funeral at the National Cathedral today. This was the part that really was touching to me, especially when George, former President George W. Bush, when he got up there to give that emotional eulogy. If you hadn't heard it, here it is right here.
In his inaugural address, the 41st President of the United States said this: "We cannot hope only to leave our children a bigger car, a bigger bank account. We must hope to give them a sense of what it means to be a loyal friend, a loving parent, a citizen who leaves his home, his neighborhood, and town better than he found it. What do we want the men and women who work with us to say when we are no longer there? That we were more driven to succeed than anyone around us? Or that we stopped to ask if a sick child had gotten better and stayed a moment there to trade a word of friendship? Well, Dad, we're going to remember you for exactly that and much more. And we're going to miss you. Your decency, sincerity, and kind soul will stay with us forever. So through our tears, let us know the blessings of knowing and loving you, a great and noble man, the best father a son or daughter could have. And in our grief, let us smile knowing that Dad is hugging Robin and holding Mom's hand again."
Drew, that part got me towards the end of that speech, that eulogy, and I was just, well, a few reasons I choked up. I mean, you choke up when you see, sometimes you see some folks getting emotional, but then you start talking about a son speaking at his father's funeral, giving his eulogy, which I've done, and I was just like, I was just blown away. You know what I mean? You forget all the politics, you know, all that's out the window. You're not thinking about those things. You're just sitting there and you're watching, because at that moment, you know that George W. Bush isn't thinking about being a former president. He isn't thinking about anything about power, being leader of the free world. Here he is, a humble man that's standing before his father, giving a eulogy right there at that moment. And just the breakdown, the tears that came out, I was blown away.
Unfortunately, I think it stands so much in stark contrast of what so much of politics feels like today, where everybody has to kind of pick a side, or you have to be in one camp or the other. But you're right. I thought that was a very beautiful thing, is that he was really just, he wasn't one of the most powerful men. He wasn't one of the presidents in the past. He was just a son who was saying goodbye to his father.
Right.
And it was just a very sweet sort of note to think about. He was saying, you know, I'm sure Dad is looking forward to seeing his mom, seeing mom again, to seeing their daughter. They lost. When, yeah. Incredible. Very touching.
Before his death, now I thought this was pretty cool too, because I had heard John Meacham's eulogy, but I had no idea the context behind it. Before his death, 41, was able to hear what some of the speakers were going to say today. Imagine that. Imagine hearing some of, like, hey, okay, so what you going to say at my funeral? But anyways, that's what happened. Author John Meacham read him his own eulogy. Afterwards, the president replied, "That's a lot about me, John." Here's Meacham's speech. It got a lot of laughs from the Bush kids.
Public speaking was not exactly a strong suit. Fluency in English, President Bush once remarked, is something that I'm often not accused of. Looking ahead to the 88 election, he observed, "It's no exaggeration to say that the undecideds could go one way or the other." And late in his presidency, "We're enjoying sluggish times, but we're not enjoying them very much."
And it was just pretty cool, him speaking and being able to get the laughs, and also to know it's powerful. At 41, got to hear some of those words.
Honestly, to interject a little bit of my personal sort of story here, after my accident, when I started seeing this kind of massive outpouring of support, people coming out and really just kind of giving myself and my wife sort of whatever we needed, it was the best way that I could describe it to other people was that feeling of, like, when you have a dream and you get to go to your own funeral, is that feeling of kind of what everybody really thinks about you. That level of support and love and care that he had today is only because of what a person he was to all those people there. The fact that he was as beloved on a personal level, that was really apparent today. And that was something that I got to experience firsthand. I wish everybody could. I wish everybody could realize how appreciated they are while they're still alive.
I like that. I like that. Wish everybody, that's a pretty good one. Wish everybody could realize how appreciated they are while they're still alive. It would keep a lot of people and make people have a different perspective on life from time. Now, in one of the more touching moments, George W. reached into his pocket as he walked down the aisle and pulled out a mint to hand to his friend, y'all know who, Michelle Obama, something he did a few months ago at John McCain's funeral. Their relationship has been a bit of a delightful surprise in heavy moments like these. After the incident with the cough drop at McCain's funeral that drew attention, Michelle described her relationship with former President Bush on the Today Show last month.
"I didn't realize at the time that anybody noticed what we were doing. We were sitting together. You know, President Bush and I, we are forever seatmates because of protocol. That's how we sit at all the official functions. So he is my partner in crime at every major thing where all the formers gather. So we're together all the time, and I love him to death. He's a wonderful man. He's a funny man. And it was a simple gesture. He was getting a cough drop from Laura, and I looked over and I said, hand me a cough drop. He was like, oh, okay. And I will add that they were old cough drops."
It's cute. It's really adorable. It's not something that I, in a million years, I would have been like, yep, I'll bet Michelle Obama and former President George W. Bush will be good friends.
I don't know which relationship I like better, the two of them or Barack Obama and Joe Biden.
Ooh, that's tough.
That's a tough one.
That's tough.
Yeah, I don't know where we're going to go with that one. But again, like Frank said, it was a beautiful funeral. Mm-hmm. It was well done. Mm-hmm. I mean, I looked at it and I didn't look at any. I wasn't there to look for anything negative. And those that probably took negative from it, I hope you didn't, because I thought it was well done. I thought it was beautiful. I got to see it, everything. I really loved everything.
Sort of leaving politics at the door for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of, it'll be there when we return to it. But for the moment, let's just make it not about us.
Speaking of politics, you know, I had to write today's date down. Today's date is December 5th, 2018. I'm like, well, gee, what are you writing the date down for? Well, here's why. Whenever there is a topic that goes on where Todd Herman, Dory Munson, and myself all are on the same page on something, I'm sorry. You got to stop right there and realize there is a magic moment. I don't know if you want to call it magic, but Jenny Durkin. It sounds like it pays the note of mayor from before she was mayor. Let me explain. A Seattle Times story revealed that the consultant hired to be the point person on Seattle's Sound Transit Extension is, in fact, a longtime friend of Mayor Jenny Durkin and the wife of one of Jenny Durkin's deputy mayors. Our very own Kyle Radio's, by the way, this is a Seattle Times article, but Kyle Radio's Jillian Rafferty has details on that.
Ann Fennessy will represent Seattle to lay out the future light rail extensions in West Seattle and Ballard as part of ST3. The four-year contract is worth $720,000, paid for by Sound Transit. Although others were interviewed, the Seattle Times reports the hiring process was not competitive. Fennessy's firm has won four Sound Transit consulting projects since 2010. Mayor Jenny Durkin also hired her this spring to review the floundering First Avenue streetcar extension, which was suspended because of massive budget overruns. The mayor's office says they've checked with the city's ethics department already to make sure there are no conflicts of interest during Fennessy's contract.
So this spring, Ann Fennessy, by the way, Ann, she is the wife of one of Mayor Jenny Durkin's deputy mayor. And it's interesting because she was hired this spring by Durkin to lead a $30,000 review of the city's First Avenue streetcar extension, which Durkin suspended in March. I mean, you know, cost of overruns. And then Fennessy also led a $34,000 review of the Seattle Department of Transportation, now on its second interim director of 2018. This is a four-year contract to be a consultant right here. That comes out to she's going to make $180,000 a year. That's more than the contract, more than the salary of Jenny Durkin. I don't know what ethics committee they called, but man, this don't smell right. And again, this is one of those things where, man, I cannot believe I got two other my coworkers here that we are on the same page on something. How in the world do you get a $720,000 four-year contract, no compete? Just like that. It almost makes me go back to the whole sheriff thing, the chief deal, Carmen Best. Do you remember the Carmen Best deal? It's almost like you had to pull teeth, drag, cry, complain. Everybody in the entire city of Seattle wanted Carmen Best, but they wanted to go another way. They wanted to go through the interview process. They wanted to interview those outside of here. And then only at the final hour, after everybody in the entire world was going crazy about it, then that's when you came out and said that. Unbelievable. I'll end this with this, Drew, because I've been talking about it too much. I want to come back and talk about this again. I'll end it with this. That's $720,000. If they're so worried about earlier in the year talking about the head tax on the businesses, right? They wanted to do the head tax. What was the head tax for? Because they wanted to be able, because they care so much about the homeless. Well, I'll tell you what. How about you take half that $720,000 and have that go towards the homeless? I got to tell you, this story right here, I am very, very disappointed in this. And it's some shady stuff. That's what they call politics. But I'm quite sure they'll shine this up. Boy, I tell you, unbelievable. Drew, what's the next story we were going to, brother?
Oh, we got some holiday magic.
Holiday magic. As many of you know, Cairo is once again teaming with Treehouse for Kids for the Holiday Magic Charity Initiative this month. We're working to provide holiday gifts for more than 5,000 children in foster care statewide. This has been a long-standing event for Car Radio, and for many years, we did a radiothon. However, over the last 2 years, through PSAs and social media, the results have been greater than ever. We've also had some traffic features from our reporters, like Heather Bosch, who has a story of Western Washington mom whose love for her only child expanded to include a whole lot of kids. Here's that.
I'm Heather Bosch in Federal Way, where the hot wheels are rolling on the floor of a comfortable home. And an 8-year-old boy is talking about Miss Juanita, his foster mom.
She gives me nice food, and she, and a hug. I really like her.
He's just one of many foster children Juanita Duncan has cared for. She says she wanted her biological son, an only child, to have brothers and sisters.
My son has more siblings.
So how'd that conversation go? Mom came home and said, I want to give you a sibling. Here's the deal.
I don't even remember all the way back then. I was too young to have a say back then. It just kind of happened.
What happened took a lot of love and patience from now 16-year-old Sion and his mom Juanita.
I've had over 100 kids go through my home. And yeah, so some have been long-term, some have been really short-term and, you know, and done respite for them. But it's been over 100.
She cares for kids who come from homes disrupted by neglect, drugs, violence, or the loss of a parent.
Yeah, you've been dealt some lemons, so let's make some lemonade. I was like, you know, where do we go from here? And especially with the, you know, the older kids, I'm like, you know what? Life is rough. Life is not fair. But where do you go from here? I was like, you don't have to remain in situation. You have the rest of your life.
Do you find that's one of your main jobs? These kids who've had a rough go of it, to empower them?
Yes.
Take the former foster son she recently visited with.
It was 3 years ago. He broke the window, and then he knew that was going to be his major gift. And he says, is my window still there? I'll say, it's still there.
He got to replace the window for Christmas.
Yes.
Which is one reason why she's still a foster mom 100 kids later.
For one, it's the impact, the giving back, and knowing that I can make a difference. But I think that the selfish thing that I get out of it is that I've created a memory with someone. Now I'm a part of, you know, their memories. I'm going to be a part of their life forever.
The child she flew to another state with to meet his adopted parents. The twins who successfully reunited with her biological mom, the former foster daughter, now a young woman who still calls Juanita mom, and the siblings she brought her only child.
I mean, just seeing their faces when I would just like offer to go like outside with them or take them to the park or something, it always feels good. And like when they just want to be around me, it was cool.
That's a lot of love there.
Yeah.
Your donations make a difference for kids in foster care. Text MAGIC to 98973 to find out how.
As Heather said, just text the word MAGIC to 98973 for information about donating to Treehouse. Coming up next, 9 things the happiest couples on earth do without being asked. Time for news you can use. You listen to the Cairo Knights. I am G. Scott.
Time now for news you can use on Cairo Nights.
G. Scott here. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Seahawks Legends happens tonight. Our guest, former Seattle Seahawk member, Sean Locklear, starting right tackle for your Seattle Seahawks, was part of that great offensive line back in 2005 that helped Sean Alexander get MVP that year, and they went on to the Super Bowl. Only to lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but that's a hurtful topic that I don't want to get into. But right now, it's time for news you can use. The 9 things happy couples do, but they do them even when they're not asked to. You ready, Drew?
I'm ready. My wife is at home. She's keeping score.
Number 1, they check in with each other. Whether it's a hello, text, hi, just thinking about you, they don't have to be told. Happy couples check in with each other and just give that random text. Would you? And by the way, Drew, I just want to say topics like these is what you're an expert on this one because you have a happy marriage.
Yes.
You good with that one?
Yeah, I love that.
You do that, don't you?
All the time. I love just sending a little random thing of just thinking about you or just an animated GIF or something. My wife and I have I think we're very funny. So okay. We have a good time.
Number 2, they give each other compliments.
Yes.
A little lovey-dovey. Oh, you look fantastic.
You know,
you look great.
At some point, I remember very on in my early on in my relationship with my wife, I had that feeling of like, you know what? Anything positive that I have to say about her, I'm not going to keep to myself. I'm not going to try and like squirrel it away, trying to think about kind of like the whole game kind of aspect, you know, try and use it. I'm just, if I'm walking down the hallway and she looks wonderful, I'm going to say, you look beautiful today.
Love it. Again, this is 9 things the happiest couples in the world do for each other without being asked. Number 3, they surprise each other with a card just because.
Nope. Sorry. As I was looking through, this is the one thing I am not going to be able to.
No card?
No, and it's not so much because I don't have a desire to get a card. It's just that I know that my wife would look at that and be like, that's $5. It could have gone somewhere else.
All right. Make sure you're taking notes on this, David. You need to make sure you're taking notes. Number 4, they act generously instead of keeping score. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold up. Time out. Hey, man, look, I'm keeping score.
Don't keep score.
Let me tell you something. Let me get this straight. If I have done 10 nice things in a row,
mm-hmm,
in a matter of a month,
mm-hmm,
and I get nothing, mm-hmm, after the 10, oh, man, that means the score is 10 to nothing. I'm down. Mm. I'm losing.
No.
So,
if you get into a relationship and the first thing you're thinking of is like, what's the score, or you know, what things are owed towards me, it's not going to work. You got to change your mentality about it. It's a partnership. It is no longer about you versus the other person. You're both on the same team, so there's no point in keeping score.
All right, I don't know about that one.
That's a tough one.
Number 5, they speak openly about their thoughts and feelings.
Mm-hmm. My wife loves talking about feelings. Honestly, that's probably her go-to activity, if possible. When we all get together with a group of friends or so, we're trying to figure out where we should do or where we should go. She's like, I don't know, we could just sit around and talk about feelings.
Is she serious?
She is serious. She loves to just get to know people. And honestly, I think it's quite refreshing. I like to just be an open book around my wife, and that's much easier than trying to keep anything.
Okay, hold up. Time out, though. What if, let's be real.
Okay.
If you have 10 people all sitting around talking about their feelings,
mm-hmm,
in 2018, I'm going to say 8 have negative feelings. Let me complain about my boss. Let me complain about my significant other leaving a toilet seat up.
Those are all feelings, though. I mean, it's not like, let's sit around and only talk about positive feelings. You got to talk about the good and the bad.
Then it turns into nagging.
It can. Nagging is tough.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this one right here, I'm raising my hand right here, number 6, baby. I feel like this is the greatest one ever. They surprise their partner with their favorite food.
Mm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You cannot do anything wrong. You come home, mm-hmm, and you bring her or him, hey, stopped off at you. Your spot.
Absolutely.
Got you this.
It's if you're thinking about thinking about getting your partner a gift, one thing that they will always love is food.
Food.
Food always works.
Hey, stopped off. Got you this. Matter of fact, we're going to go to hit, man. Can't lose.
My wife used to suffer from migraines,
uh-huh,
and the only thing that really made her feel good afterwards, Panda Express.
I used to love Panda Express.
It's so good.
In my 20s. Today? Nah.
Yeah, you pay for it the next day.
Oh. Faster ROI. I pay for it that day. Number 7. A freshly washed car. I used to have some folks send me out to clean their significant other's cars. When I used to do the mobile detailing and things, kind of surprise them, mm-hmm, like, hey, you know, I was thinking about you. Here's your car being cleaned. Yeah, that's a big one.
Now, let me ask you a question. If somebody were to do that for you and be like, oh, here, I cleaned the car, would you be able to accept that at just face value, or would be like, I probably could have cleaned that a little bit better?
No. You know what? It's something that I don't do. When I get in, I mean, I clean cars for so many years,
mm-hmm,
that when I get in cars, people, you know, well, a lot of people forget that I used to clean cars, but mm-hmm, people that know, they are always like, hey, don't judge me. I don't judge because I've been in so many cars and I know what cars look like. Most cars, right? Like when I say most, I would say 8.5 out of 10 cars are dirty. I'd say 3 out of 10 cars are nasty. And when I'm, what's nasty? Nasty is when you still got food in there from 6 months ago.
Oh, that's no
on your floor.
Well, if it's on your seats. If it's McDonald's, it probably has not begun to age.
Well, I told you about my 10-year story, that car that was in the garage. Number 8, they're in the habit of saying thank you.
Yes.
Ah, yeah.
Say thank you.
You got to say thank you. Yeah. I don't disagree.
There's no reason why you should hold back the thank yous.
Yeah, you got to pull out the thank yous. It's just... That's just common sense, right?
I sure hope so. I hate the fact that this has to be a checkpoint on the list of saying thank you. Just say thank you to people.
These last two are kind of weird. Number 8 says thank you. And number 9, say I love you.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I think I probably do it for maybe a little bit of a different reason. But honestly, since my accident, I hate to keep dwelling on this, but I never know when it's going to be the last time.
Yeah, that's a good one, Drew. That's a good one.
I always now, try and kind of,
This from the 253, they said some cool things their past partner did for them that they thought was amazing was just scraping the ice off of their windshield. Okay, there it is, y'all. You know it's been cold in the Seattle area. You know that. So try this out. If you're driving, you're listening right now. Tomorrow morning, you got to make sure you text us and let us know how this went. Tomorrow morning, go out there and do some scraping of your significant other's car right there. Get that ice off and get it going for them. Matter of fact, I saw on Facebook, somebody said their dad had came over there, scraped the ice off their car, and had a cup of coffee for them waiting. That's nice.
That is nice.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next is time for Unpopular Opinion, and make sure you join us for 8 o'clock. We got a surprise guest. You guys know that new rule down in Lewis County where they say the sheriff won't actively enforce 1639? Oh, wait till you see the guest that I'm going to have at 8 o'clock. But coming up next, Unpopular Opinion, listen to Kyra Knights. I am G. Scott. Welcome back in to Cairo Nights, y'all. I am G. Scott. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll be talking about I-1639, and down in Lewis County, the sheriff's office says they won't actively enforce that. Well, we got a guest to come in to talk about that. That happens at 8 o'clock. But right now, Drew, what's the time for, bro?
It's time for the
popular... You're really unpopular.
Now, just a disclaimer. This is not my unpopular opinion.
Well, what? I mean...
This is G's, right?
This is somebody on the show.
Somebody, it's not me.
When have
David, is it yours?
When have we started an unpopular opinion of Cairo Knights and said, and this is not mine?
Because typically when I read them out, I think a lot of people assume that it's my unpopular opinion. And seeing as how this was your suggestion, I'm going to read this.
Someone on this show
is more excited for the XFL than for the NHL. There's an XFL team coming to Seattle. Someone on the show is more excited for that than a hockey team coming to Seattle.
So we'll just kind of keep it simple. The unpopular opinion is I'm more excited about the XFL coming to Seattle than the NHL coming to Seattle. I'm going to say it again. I'm way more excited.
Why?
I mean, because the hockey is just, it's just hockey. I don't even know any. I know about 3 players in hockey. There's no appeal to
it. Because we don't have a team. Wouldn't you be more interested?
You guys could go up to Vancouver right there and go close. This is the crazy thing. The crazy thing is all 4 of us here on the show, David, Frank Shires, and you, and myself, none of us have been to a professional hockey game.
Correct.
I've been to semi-pro, not professional.
Did nobody say semi-pro, Frank? I just said pro.
I thought it might count.
So, I'm saying I love XFL because it's going to be football. It's going to happen in 2020. By the way, 2021 will be when hockey is played here. XFL is going to be 8 cities that is going to have a team here. Seattle is going to be one of them, and I'm looking forward to it.
I was not impressed by the last XFL product. I don't know why this one is
you didn't like
to be
he
that
hate
much
me?
Better. I that's the only thing I remember from the XFL was Hate. There was a player named He Hate Me. You could select what you wanted to have on your jersey. And so a guy went with the nickname He Hate Me. I think there were some other ones as well. But I remember also the kickoff, they would just place the ball at the 50 and then people had to run up and try and grab it. That's how they determined who got the initial possession. I think the 2.0 version of the XFL will be better than the first version. However, I don't know what I'm necessarily looking forward to.
What have you watched more of, high school football or hockey?
When I was in high school, I watched more high school football.
You watch more college football or hockey?
Well, I watch more college football because I went to the college that's nearby here that with the UW Huskies.
Well, you sure ain't found a reason to watch no hockey.
Drew, you're going to lose this argument.
You know how much NBA I follow now? Not much at all because there's no team here
anymore.
Fair
enough.
I feel like there needs to be an inherent reason why you should follow a sport. And because there is no professional hockey team, as of yet, then I have not followed professional hockey.
Frank Shire, unpopular opinion is I'm more excited about the XFL coming to Seattle than the NHL.
Well, I'm not excited about the NFL now, so why in God's name would I be excited about the XFL? However, I would say that I will ignore both of them equally. I'd say that's where I'm going to come down on this one. You know, I'm not, you know, no preference.
So the real winner is Frank Shire's hobby.
That's it.
Yes.
Yes.
Whatever
that might be at the moment.
What are the other cities that are getting an XFL team?
I had that list and I didn't write it down.
Was it L.A. and New York?
They're TV markets, right?
Yeah, TV.
That's
TV
what
markets.
It's about, right? They're not going to have one
LA,
in
New
Dubuque,
York.
Iowa.
Real quick, David, what do you got, bud?
I got enough football in my life between the Seahawks and the college football and the Cleveland Browns, who I am a very dedicated follower of.
Oh,
so I'm
we found
for
one.
Hockey.
There's
I'm
a,
ready
there's
for some
a
hockey.
Fan of the Browns.
You're a Browns fan.
You mean David?
Go
you
Brownies.
Had to. You had the nerve to try to sneak that in that you're a Brown fan? My goodness!
I'm sorry, we got to wrap up.
You're just like a politician. Oh, by the way, I'm a Browns fan. Oh, now you say it.
Got a break for commercial
coming up next. We talk about 1639. We bring in the prosecuting attorney from Lewis County. He joins us next. You listen to Kyro Knights. I'm D. Scott.